the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but what a disturbing parable. This is the parable of the dishonest manager. Some speculate that the manager might have been a free slave who was given authority by his rich master to manage the affairs of his estate. He was given extensive access to the administration and decision-making process in his position. The likelihood of him stealing and manipulating figures was high, and probably happening for a while. We're not told who squealed on him, but the charges are significant enough that the manager can no longer ignore them. As a manager of a sizable estate, his reputation and status would have been well known. Since he was a slave, losing his job, especially for stealing, meant loss of status, money, and housing. A report of his mismanagement would have been devastating to him. Who could he turn to assist him, especially if he was a slave? He could have ended up digging in the very fields that he was managing. Facing a dismal future, the manager jumped into action. He cleverly and cunningly devised a way out of possible misery. He approached the vendors who had did the business with him and cut their bills by a sizable amount. And since he had been exploiting these persons from the beginning, we really don't know what it is that he actually slashed. You know, because he could have taken it up to bring it back down, which we are very familiar with. These four people were being swindled again one more time. But they went away pleased that their bills had been reduced. Who doesn't like a good sale? Oh boy, this is on sale. Let me get that. And we think that, boy, we have just saved a ton of money. Exactly. Once he was out of a job, he could now approach these persons for work and lodging, since he had evidently helped them. This is a case of you scratch my back and I will scratch yours. It was very common in that day. I do for you and you do for me. He now has people he can rely on who will welcome him into their homes. And if you think back to the parable of the prodigal son, the younger brother had no friends, even although he was partying with them, who would welcome him into their homes when he fell on hard times. So, I have a question for you today. Do you have at least one friend whom you can turn to in a moment of crisis? Are you still on good terms with this one friend? And have you told them recently how much they mean to you? And of course, who would like to get up and tell me about their friend? Yes, Miss Ed.
Thank you.
Wonderful,
wonderful.
That's a true friendship.
Yes.
Friends that you can turn on, to kind of call on in the middle of the night. You know? People that you can pour your heart open knowing that it will stay where it is and you won't be judged. That's the thing. Or that you will get validation from how you feel. But look at what this manager had to do to get friends. And look at the prodigal son. He didn't even have any after all that partying and spending money on him. John read a little piece from the Old Testament, and that has the same exploitation as well. It's terrible. Amos is a prophet in Israel at the time of prosperity under the ruler Jeroboam. And he's warning the rich merchants and government officials to stop ripping off the poor. They had a habit of weighing the produce the poor people brought to market. It falls, balances. The result, the poor were not getting the full payment their produce was truly worth. The merchants gave the appearance they were doing the right thing. For after all, they observed the Sabbath as required, but their hearts were ruthless. Like our dishonest manager, they were all warned that God will not forget any of their deeds. God saw past their pious actions to the evil in their hearts. And we see this type of greed and gross mismanagement to this very day. Ask anyone who lost money due to the corruption in the Enron company or the Wall Street fiasco a few years back. A few years ago, there was much outcry over the outrageous cost of the EpiPen, which was used to combat aggressive allergic reactions. It skyrocketed from a cost of $90 to $600. And after much heat from the consumers in Congress, the company which produces the drug decided to produce a generic for somewhere around $300. And that was supposed to be satisfactory. I think they've lowered the cost down a little bit now, but it's still well over $90. And meanwhile, the CEO is being paid millions of dollars a year. There are so many get-rich schemes as well to which innocent people fall prey. It sounds so legal, but it's anything but. When we watch the television and we see these people taken to jail, I say, what wasted talent. If only they had used their intelligence for good instead of evil. Do you know how far along we would be? These people come up with schemes that are, it takes time to put this stuff together. It is so intricate and detailed. All to do evil. So why would this master commend this manager, who was obviously skimming funds away from him? Jesus also praised the manager for his ability to think quickly and how to solve his immediate dilemma. And this is the reason why. If only the children of light would act as shrewdly towards their spiritual life. So how does this relate to us? Jesus wants us to act with the same decisiveness and deliberate cleverness that the manager used. He wants us to use that towards our spiritual lives. He does not want the wishy-washiness of the disciples or the lovers of money as the Pharisees. Think about how quickly he reacted. Yesterday, we had 108 people inside the parish hall for the hat luncheon. Everybody was excited and hats on and dressed, and we are ready. What about if we use that same enthusiasm here this morning? Where are the 108 this morning?
Home.
Where?
Home.
That is the enthusiasm that Jesus wants us to put into our spiritual lives. And there's also a little side piece, too, that he talks about. Look at how quickly the manager came up with a solution. So here's another question for you. How do you react when faced with a difficult decision? Will you act as quickly as a shrewd manager? I, for one, know that when I receive news that will alter my plans, I go from 0 to 100 in seconds flat, thinking the worst. Think on this scenario. You have just found yourself in the middle of a crisis. Doesn't have to be anything horrific. You want to know what crisis could sound like? Your son or daughter just walked in and said, I'm getting married next week. If that is not a crisis or dilemma, I don't know what is. Or the baby's coming. Or on the other spectrum, you have to receive immediate medical attention. How do you work out this crisis? How do you stop yourself from thinking the worst immediately? Write it down. What is your crisis? Write it down. Put it in writing so you can see it for yourself. Write it down. Write down what is the best outcome. You can have a lovely wedding, or you can have a dud. What is the best outcome? What is the worst outcome? What is the worst possible thing that could happen? How will it affect you? How will you manage this crisis? What are some of the things that you need to do to be prepared for this? Write it down. Many of us have gone through crises in our life. And you will notice that as you're going through the crisis, it was not as bad as you anticipated that it was. Or it was as bad as you thought it was. And you were just as overwhelmed as you fought through it. However, at the end of it, you realize that you got through it. You conquered it. And you're still standing and better off for it, despite the wear and tear that it caused. You say? You can have that conversation. Yeah. Things can get tough. So last year. Through it all, you discovered something about you. You discovered something about God. You discovered your faithfulness towards God and God's unending mercy towards his people sitting in his kingdom. God provides for all the people in his kingdom. So when life is difficult and we find ourselves doing whatever it takes to make ends meet, we don't have to take shortcuts and chances that may not be in our best interests. God provides. It is so easy to lose sight of our original goals and God's purpose for our lives. At the end of the day, we can trust God to supply us with eternal and everlasting riches. Money can so easily be taken from us. Give me $100 right now and I can spend that without even backing up. Money can so easily be taken from us. The dishonest manager found a way to swindle money away from people who trusted him. Jesus is asking us to make the distinction between what makes for the ultimate human happiness and fulfillment and what leads to misery and destruction. as Christians, how can we become shrewd in the ways of the world without becoming part of the world? In Matthew 10:16, Jesus told the disciples, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and as innocent, harmless as doves." We are always called upon to be aware and vigilant, keeping our eyes on God as life swirls around us. The gifts we have been bestowed with from God are unfading and timeless. These gifts are talents and abilities which ensure that we will not be spiritually bankrupt. So we have a decision to make. Do we become children of this age, like the dishonest manager focused on self and now? Or children of the light who focus on God and the age to come? What matters most to Jesus is that we become enthusiastic about our Christian walk, that we use our wit and skill to bless others as we have been blessed. Be faithful in the little, so that at the end we may hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness."